Welcome. I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi, the senior pastor of this amazing place, and there's no place I'd rather be worshiping than here at New Season for 20 years. Going on 20 years, God's presence is amazing to me. Not only are we the church, say I'm the church, but we are also the worship team. So I am the worship team. So Father, I thank you for your worship this morning to receive it from us. Help me not to blow the rest of the service. Lord, I have a tendency to mess your stuff up so good. I pray, Lord God, you'd come upon me, within me, and I'd cut off the notes I don't need, Lord God, and I'd say the things that aren't on the notes. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anyone been at New Season for the past two episodes of this identity crisis? Please raise your hands. Raise them longer. I need a long drink. Well done. Great. We've been learning who we are meant to be. We've been learning who we're meant to be and who we're not to be, right? And after today, we should only have one more episode left. Please pray as I seek God for the next series. I kind of have a thought. I'm leaning towards a new series after Todd Marielena come and speak from Panama. I'm leaning towards a series called Family Drama. I don't know if anybody can relate to that ever, but it's just thought something the Lord was showing me this morning in the Word. And I went, oh, okay. Say identity crisis. So I have a scriptural recap of identity crisis, just episode two. You know, sometimes they'll show you a whole recap of the season. You're not getting that. You're going to get episode two. I'm just going to recap that. And I'm going to do it with a scripture I haven't used yet. So that's fun for me. 1 John 5:18 in the Amplified. Here's the recap of episode two of identity crisis. It says, we know, it's common knowledge. It's obvious, right? We know that anyone born of God does not habitually sin. Say this with me. Christians can't identify with what God calls sin. Can't do it. Let's pause there for a second. Keep the scripture up. But we actually fight against it in our lives. We're supposed to fight against it. When we just fall into something, we're supposed to fight against it, right? And we don't make room for it. Like, you know, this Thursday, no one's home. I'm just going to plan on some deep, dark sin. No one does that, right? We don't make room for it. Sin, though, we all fall, right? It says all fall. If you haven't fallen, then you're lying. That's a sin. We all fall, but we don't stay in the muck and the yuck. That's the difference. You can't stay in the muck and the yuck and say, well, that's just, no, that's not what we do. We know that anyone born of God does not habitually sin, but Jesus, who was born from God, keeps and protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. That's my quick recap of episode two. We cannot identify with what God calls sin. Identity crisis. Episode three, say salty. No, not like salty. Like, yeah, I've been called, you're awful salty. It's not like what he means here. If you have a tendency to be salty, snarky, yeah. You know, sarcastic. Not that kind of salty, but salty, you know. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Start there. We are the salt of the earth. I want the east side to look at the west side and go, stay salty, my friend. Look at the other side and go, stay salty, my friend. Stay salty. You are the salt of the earth. I am the church and I am the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? Say no. No. It'll be thrown out. It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Say don't become worthless. Say stay salty, my friend. You are the light. You are the light. You are the light of the world. Sup, sunshine? I'm looking around the light of the world. Sup, sunshine? Andrew's like, you're making me uncomfortable, Pastor. Don't call me sunshine. What's up, sunshine? Maxie? What's up, sunshine? What's up, sunshine? You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Now, in my era, that would be what we'd say is duh. I don't know what the duh, right? Anybody that grew up in the duh era, if something was like obviously, don't be an idiot. You went, duh, right? Duh. No one does that, duh. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, say I'm the church, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Pause, little quick side note. If your deed is sincere and your deed shines of God, then there's no need to tell anyone about it. That's just a little side note. It'll be easily seen. Eventually, God will recognize it, and then whoever he wants to see it will see it. So often people, not us, we would never shine out. Look what I did. I gave $4 and God got me a car. I gave $4. No, how about, God got me a car. You know, little lights shine on the right thing. You know, put the flashlight on the right thing, right? Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. I have a slide right off the bat to get us where we are. We are called to change our habits to godly habits. We are salt. We preserve, we purify, we make life tastier. I don't know if you've just had like cooking this bland before. Don't look at anybody in your household right now, please. I don't want letters. But if you've tasted something bland, you know, and then you came into life and go, have you ever thought about putting a little on that? What do you mean? I never did that, you know? Like, yeah, like there's a difference between my enchiladas and Yosei's. If Yosei brings anything to the picnic, you want to go, yeah. She goes, pasa the stuff, you know? I pasa some stuff, but when you have something that's pasa, you want more of it again. Like, that was tasty. The problem, the church hasn't always been so tasty. We've been salty, but maybe over salty. The word says this, I'm going to salt you till you're dead. Well, beef jerky in the desert, you know? And maybe we don't put enough salt on stuff, and we need to show you how you hear about my prayer requests and my complaints. You ought to see how good God tastes in my life. Here's some salt. We're called to be preservatives, to purify and to make life tastier. We are his light to all those in darkness. We're his light to all those in darkness. Say identity crisis. 1 Peter 2, 8 through 10 in the NLT. And he is the stone that makes people stumble and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. You know, it'd be really less stingy if he wasn't talking to the church. I'm not going to make us say I am the church, but you feel it, right? They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they met the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. Say, I'm not like that. I'm salty. Yeah, I'm not like that. You are not like that. You are chosen people. We know that from episode 1, right? And FYI, he's chosen you to be a star in his show, to shine his light. You're his kid. He wants you to succeed, right? But check this out. This next verse kind of got me. You are royal priests. Royal priest. You know, I've been called a royal pain before. I'm pretty sure many of my relatives, as a little kid, he's a royal pain, you know? That was my title. You are a royal priest, though. It'll take new practices if we're going to grow into being royal priests. It changes the way we do things sometimes. You are a holy nation. You are God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. What's the result of being God? You can show God's goodness through your life. For he has called you out of darkness. Has anyone been saved from anything dark? Show me your hands in the sanctuary if you've ever had been saved from something like dark. If you've like, man, I don't know how I'm getting out of this. I didn't know Jesus. That's when I came to Jesus. I was at my darkest hour when I came to Jesus. There was nothing darker than my moment I came to Jesus. I can compare darkness stories with the best of them in that moment. I can. But he called me out of that darkness. He called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Here's a kicker. Once you had no identity. You had no identity as people, but now you, some of us that were in darkness before we knew Jesus, How many people are shocked that you know Jesus now and your life is different? Right? People just go, what? What? Now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you've received God's mercy, right? He gave me a new identity. He gave me mercy. I didn't deserve to be in his family. I was the opposite of his family. I was working against his family. You know what I'm saying? I was on the anti-family list. This guy shows up, turn him away. Why? He ain't real relative. And God had mercy on me. Man, how many else? Yeah, God mercy on you. Like, remember that mercy moment, Mark? We're like, man, what? Romans 8, 1 through 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. What? There's no condemnation. Remember that darkness you're just thinking about? You're like, oh, and you're sick. There's no condemnation for that when you come. It's gone. You don't have to wear that anymore. He wore it. He stripped that away. We want to take it back on because you don't got to wear that. People keep bringing up, remember that time you did that? Stinky? Yeah, I remember that time. Jesus forgave me, and I gave it to him completely. And it doesn't matter what you remember. It's what I know God said. Not in an arrogant way, but I know he forgave me. I don't think we stand in that enough. We look in the rearview mirror of our life, and we look at everything in the past, and we keep driving, and we get more and more accidents. Nobody? Everybody? Therefore, there is no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment. Hallelujah. For those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, that feels, that gave me peace. I had, should I share a story? Is Dr. Heidi in here? I can dramatize it up really good, too. Good. All right. I don't see her, so let's go on. So, my dog loses his mind over many things. If you were to walk by my house, and I say walk by my house, this means across the street, and just walk in a sauntering way that he thinks is way too slow a pace, he's going to lose his mind. If you roller skate by our house, or the street across where he can see you roller skating, he's going to lose his mind. My dog likes to lose his mind. Well, the other day, my dog was in the backyard losing his mind. And I've learned if I just go look sometimes and go, look, there's no one out here. Amazon's not even here. I know, they've come 12 times today. You're expecting them again too. They're not here. So I went outside, there's nothing, and I felt the Holy Spirit said, just go around the corner, because the dog still loses his mind. And from me to Jen Brown in the back booth, there was a vehicle parked next to my neighbor's wall, next to my wall, and three cartel-looking dudes, teardrop, you know, standing there, looking like me like this. And my natural response was, is there a problem? And I started to step towards it, and then I filtered. I'm mature. I realize I'm an old chubby guy, and I don't have my axe handle. I have guns. I don't carry them very often because I'm not very proficient with them, and I believe people should have them. And I wasn't going to escalate that confrontation. But everything within me wanted to. At one point, if you catch me on adrenal fatigue day, I'm already at the front of the car making a citizen's arrest, or there's the ambulance. But I filtered. And as soon as I said, is there a problem, another dude came up over my neighbor's wall. It's an abandoned house right now because they had a house fire and they have been there. And they all look at me like, showdown time. And I was like, all right, Father, what's the move? And just when I was about to go, well, there's a problem. I got to be me. I'm not trying to be a hero, but I'm not a coward. So I take a step, just a step, and they all jump in the car and they do a Vin Diesel. All the way backwards down the street, so I can't see the lights, but around the corner, I mean, they must have been trained. That was crazy. The police go, how did you back? I go all the way around the corner, but he zipped. And I bring that up to go, I know in that moment, I really felt this. If they decide this is my moment, and I wasn't looking for it, there are times maybe I would run into the fray. But if that was my moment, I knew where I was going. I wasn't afraid of that moment. And I knew my family was taken care of because I've been wise with what I do with my finances as best I can. And I also knew there's a bunch of Italians, police officers, ex-thugs that I know that are going to make a really small planet for those people. And they're going to be sad that happened. And I can't control it because they shot me. I felt okay. Jesus first and the rest will follow. But I don't know if we all can have that moment. We can look down and go, I know where I'm going. Have I really received his forgiveness? Man, it'll free you when you accept Jesus. It frees you. For those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal, no punishment, no verdict, no condemnation. For those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, we have a new being law, right, has set you free from the law of sin, thank you, and death. I think I have emojis that should make us feel this. If you don't know, you should feel like partying over that. Woo, set free from that. And, you know, woo, thank you, Jesus. You know, I feel like old school Pentecostal that moment. Woo, I feel like, you know, thank you, Jesus. Set me free from that moment. Identity crisis. Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not come and even spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Check this out. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen as his own? Say no one. He forgives you and sets you free. So hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. He forgives you and sets you free. Then don't sweat what they accuse you. Don't sweat when they insult you. Don't sweat when they label you. If Jesus, if you really confessed your sin and you're repenting from it and you're going forward and you're obeying Christ, anybody who comes up in your past and goes, but you're still this, say, I'm not. I'm not that anymore. Ryan, I'm not that no more. No one can accuse you of that. Don't sweat it. Now, you should sweat it a little if the habit is bad and you haven't gotten it clean with Jesus yet. When that hits you, you should sweat that a bit, right? For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Then who will condemn us? Say no one. For Christ Jesus died for us and has raised us to life and is sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Doesn't it mean he will no longer loves us if? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble? How often have we felt that, though? When you're in the midst of trouble, how many times you felt like, oh, God, have you abandoned me? My blender doesn't work. If we have trouble or calamity, does it mean he doesn't love us if we don't have if we have trouble and calamity, or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or our lives threatened? Does that mean he doesn't love us any longer? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Anyone dying daily to something? Man, carbs is winning right now. I'm just saying. Say every day. No, every day. Every day. Every day I'm dying. Right? You want to get rap that for me, Kaylee? I just throw you the mic. She's good. You ought to hear. She's getting a podcast out. Kaylee's rap album. It's going to be good. Yeah, podcast rap album. It's just cutting edge. We're killed every day and being slaughtered like sheep. No. Doesn't mean that. No. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Boy, I needed to hear that because I saw love separated easy a whole lot of times. People said they're in love and all of a sudden they're not in love and it's a terrible divorce. I've seen love shattered 1,000 times. I'm a professional marriage and family counselor. We see love on the rocks all the time. But I was convinced nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons. Now check this part out, though. Neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. For me, that's a bigger problem most of the time than demons. Anybody have a bigger problem with your fears of today and fears of tomorrow? Crowding out the whole faith situation, the love, where are you, God? Like that gives me more. I have demonic encounters. Like there's people coming to service, got delivered, and it's great because God did their spirit, his spirit, awesome. God has those moments, but that's not my biggest issue. My biggest issue was me. Anybody else, your own biggest issue? Yeah, we're in the right place this morning. We're the biggest issue. Neither our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky, no power in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Now, I got to share a disclaimer. This is a cozy thing. It's kind of weird. They're going to be nervous. The front row says, what's he going to do? There's a saying around our house, I believe started by Kirsten Capozzi. It's at our household, and it says, it's like, well, if so-and-so doesn't like it, they can eat bugs. Or like, whoever ate my last brownie, they can eat bugs. Say, eat bugs. All right, I got a slide. You get the point now. I am loved by God, so hell can eat bugs. Say, I'm loved by God, so hell can eat bugs. That's got to be our attitude, right? Hell can eat bugs, for all I care. Identity crisis, Colossians 3, 1 through 5. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, keep seeking. I've seen so many folks, Dr. Heidi was talking about baptism. I've seen so many people come to church and find Jesus, and it's beautiful to see their life change, and they get baptized, and then 2 weeks later, they're gone, somewhere in a mess. It happens. I've been doing this 20 years. I'm telling you, it happens. Not everybody, but it happens. You got to keep seeking. You got to keep making change. You got to keep going. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, the problem. Set your mind and keep focused habitually. Habitually means all the time. Make it a habit, an addiction. What? An addiction to keep your mind right. Imagine that. Set your mind and keep it focused habitually on the things above, not the things that are on earth, which are temporal. For you, Christian, you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, when he appears, then also will appear with him in glory. So put to death. What? Put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body. Say, kill it. With its sensual self-centeredness, say, kill it. Immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire, and greed. Say, kill it. All of that which is a kind of idolatry because it replaces your devotion to God. Say, no way. That's not me. I'm focused. Oh, wait a minute. Say, no way. That's not me. I'm focused. Oh, okay. Philippians 3:17 through 20. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine. Now, this is Saul Paul talking, the great example of a man reborn. He was out killing Christians, and now he's on run, being beaten and left for dead and eventually killed for the gospel. He's a good example to follow. He really made a radical life change. And we learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their conduct, what they do with their everyday choice life, really shows that they're enemies. They're just fooling themselves. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. You know, we have a way of ending up in the direction we're headed. Shouldn't be shocked, right? I was only going 100 miles an hour in a 25-mile-hour zone. I don't know why it gave me a ticket. Because you would know, go ahead. Right? Check this out. They brag about, say they identify with. They brag about shameful things. And they think only about the life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven. Who are you? Say, I'm a citizen of heaven. Right? You are a citizen of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. I struggle with the eager part sometimes. I have things I want. Anybody else? Like, I'm semi-eager. I'm just being honest in front of you, like, Pastor, how dare you? I want to see Jesus set the world right, and I want a lot of people to be saved first because I don't want to see anybody end up where I was headed. So I want him to come back, but I also like a ranch up north, too. You know, can he do that first, Lord? I don't have a choice. I'm just saying. So my eager meter, sometimes I get off focus. Anybody else or just Pastor Sharp? Haley, is it just me? She's like, yeah, okay. Pastor, it's just you. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what? Now, I love this because he's going to show us a bit of our purpose. What you have heard from me, he says, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. Faithful men. Faithful men who will be able to teach others. We are, right? Say, I am the church. We are supposed to be faithful. We, the church, you and I are supposed to teach Jesus' message to others, not just Pastor Sean. Like our lives, there should be people that we should be giving that message off on a regular basis. We talk about, remember, smelling the scent of Jesus in our life. The shirts I can't get made, bite me, taste Jesus. I know, Jody, one of these days, though, I think I found an underground way. But anyways. Faithful men who will be able to teach others, share in suffering. Oh, I'm terrible at sharing in suffering. I like to avoid suffering at almost all costs. I don't know if you guys are that way. You know, I'm picky about my spaghetti noodles. You know, one day she had ziti when I specifically recommended spaghetti. Right, Jordan? Yeah, and we had ziti noodles. I was kind of put out. I was inconvenienced over a noodle. Don't judge me. Noodles are important. But how about this? Share in suffering. How about this? Maybe you can apply that to share in the help of other believers who are in suffering. When other believers are suffering, maybe we share by helping them out of that suffering. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Who are you? Say, I'm a soldier. And say, could you say this with me and really hear our words, right? Just don't repeat it like rapid fire when you hear this. Say, I'm a soldier, and I recognize soldiering is not easy. It is not easy. Everyone's got their own mission. Stop judging each other's. It's time to get equipped for the mission he gave you, me. Say identity crisis. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go. Jesus is talking to us. Go. Go. Get it done. Get moving. Go. I set my garage up. It's not been worked out in. Go. It's out there. I'm ready to drop some weight. Get ripped. Woo! Go. Yeah, I got to go to the garage. I set it up nicely. I haven't gone yet, Andrew. You're not praying hard enough. It's your fault. Go. Go, therefore, and do what? Make disciples of all nations. Are you any disciples of Jesus Christ in here? Okay, go and make disciples of all nations. Here's the problem I've seen in the church in the past. I just have to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make disciples for him, not for you. I've seen that. That has been like a sick part of the global church. There's a lot of discipling to a person and not to God, not making disciples, because you disciple, you start bending yourself, right? I have some great men who I love have compromised gospel recently because they bent to pressure. They compromised themselves, but they are making disciples for themselves. And they're prospering. But that doesn't excuse the rest of us from the call of making disciples. Jesus said, this is a Jesus quote, if you are a disciple, our job is to make a disciple, to go share our lives and what Jesus has done for us and bring them to him. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be in a church being baptized. It just has to be done by someone who is the church. Doesn't that blow your mind? I always thought Baptist got to be, man, if you get baptized out of the faith I was in, didn't count. I don't know if you ever grew up in a religious system where your church was only the one recognized and the only place baptism could happen and only if the priest did this. Anybody ever grew up that way? I did. I grew up like that. So, When I first saw a baptism in a horse trough, I thought, you people have lost your mind. In a pool? Are you crazy? We got to swim there. But if you've seen over the past 20 years, we've baptized people in my pool and in a horse trough. Because, you know what? I love the baptisms that happen like someone's at the river and they find someone and they give them Jesus and they repent. And you right then and there, as a member of the church, go, you want to be baptized? Do you want, are you well within you? Well, that's, I'm going to bring you to church, so pastor has a baptism service. No, it says disciples baptize. Wow, doesn't that put a responsibility on the church? I am the church. And no wonder you mumbled it right there. Teaching to observe all that I have commanded you. We must observe it ourselves so we can effectively teach it. That's been a problem with the church too, right? In general, right? You've seen that. You read a tabloid or two. You got to try to live the life, not just teach the life. Say, I'm a teacher. Say, I'm a teacher. Did you hear that, Jen Brown? All these people that just said they could teach. Children's Church has openings. Did you hear that? Say, I'm a teacher. They're like, I'm a teacher. Yeah. Sorry, Jen, I tried to get you, you know. So I'm recruiting right there. And behold, this is remember. Jesus saying, remember. I'm with you always. Jesus is saying it. I'm with you always to the end of the age. Say, I am never alone. Ever feel alone? I felt alone. I could be a room full of people and feel really alone. Anybody? Anybody have the courage? Raise your hand to that. I've been there. I could be a room full of people and completely alone. But God says, remember, you are my church. You are never alone. Actually, I dwell within you. Come spend time with me. Open up in there. Let me be with you, and you'll never feel alone again. Man, when I feel the loneliest, I got to run to my Father. You know, sometimes I run to the Eagles, and then I listen to a song, and then I go right back to my Father. Because that's the only place that gives me life, right? Say, I'm never alone. Okay. The church is supposed to get help from His Spirit. His Spirit is vital to us being the best church that we could actually be. Each of us should be a home for His Spirit. I've seen in Spirit and the Truth Church, this is where I stand. I've seen Spirit and in truth. He said, remember the scripture he opened up with? Worship Him in Spirit and in truth. He's given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live and dwell in our lives. And sometimes it manifests in gifts and so on. But I've seen that used so abused where someone's shouting out in tongues to the disturbance of something. Do they even have that gift? And they're wiggling around on the floor that has nothing to do with Jesus. And it chases people away. And I see people, we can't let the Holy Spirit move in. No, the guy had a prophetic word. No. We need a blood sample. Where's he from? Does he think he's a prophet from like the Old Testament? We need to call the psych center? Spirit and truth. The problem is the church rarely walks in balance in anything. The Holy Spirit hits and, what? The Holy Spirit, we have Holy Spirit night every night. Everything's got to go. If the Holy Spirit hits, you got to do this. No, you don't. No. But you should have nights where you worship God and you hope the Holy Spirit shows up and does amazing things in your life and touches you and heals you and brings encouragement to you and strengthens you to be a disciple. Right? Say, I'm never alone because He lives in me. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Whenever I'm in fear or I'm too shy to speak up for truth, that's not God. For God has not given me a spirit of timidity. But you know what He also hasn't given us? The ability to be aggressive snotballs. That's a problem with the church too. Sometimes the church talks up when it should be quiet and just be loving. And sometimes the church needs to talk up. But the way we deliver, remember the steak last week? I can blend it up and pour it on your plate, or I can kick it across the dirty garage floor, or I can serve it nicely. A good meal served nicely is easy to eat. Say, I'm the church, right? For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. But of power, love, and self-discipline. I have a slide here. For anybody who owns a business, you may want to check this out. Having discipline alone can fix 80% of your problems. Let that sink in for a second. Pastor Sean, why are you not in great shape? Discipline. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Why do I not have $1 million in my bank account right now? I lacked discipline when I was young. why can I not dunk the basketball? Well, it's because I'm short. But there are things that if we apply discipline, only discipline to what he asks us to do, 80% of the problem is we just don't do what he asks us to do, and we don't consistently do it. Anybody say amen to that? It's true, right? It is. Let's close today, maybe. I'm landing the plane. No, they circled Bar Harbor. I'm circling the airport, Bar Harbor. I'm away on vacation. I'm in Maine. Yeah, sorry. Anyways, I'm not there anymore. But circling the airport. All right. Here's some Jesus quote. John 15, 1 through 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine. Wait, I had to pause when I read it this week. Wait right there. Is he talking about cutting off what looks like it belongs to Jesus? Confess believers who, of some degree, he said they're his. Wow. That should shake our tree a little bit. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. Practicing his ways, get a result that he wants. Now has become the time, more than ever, to put those things into practice. It's muy importante. Muy importante. We got to start putting stuff into practice and discipline that we already know to do. Well, I'm called to preach. You know, the best thing you do is maybe, why don't you stop with the cocaine? I got a gift in my life. You know, treat your wife like a gift. Do the things you're supposed to do. Discipline yourself. The things he asks us to do. And that will produce fruit. Why? He prunes the branches. Anyone feel like you've been pruned lately? Are you laughing? I get it. Anyone? He prunes the branches that do bear fruit. What? I'm doing my job. Again, another change. You're pruning me again? Man, I'm doing so good as a husband. I cook. I clean. Diaper duty. Can I have another duty? No, do the duty to the duty. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. Pruning, though, is not comfortable. Anybody through a pruning process with God, where he's pruning stuff off your life, trimming stuff off, he's cutting stuff off you. So he prunes anything that's not good. If you love him and you've confessed it, you made a relationship, anything that's not your good in life, he's going to start working, trying to prune it. You can run away, he's going to keep pruning it. You're going to run you into a pruner. You're going to find yourself, oh, why is he picking up? He's pruning you, right? And he prunes off stuff that's not only not good, but not now. There's stuff that is good, but it's not now. And he goes, not now. Why? You're going to make a mess. Why? Because if you marry that girl at that age, you're going to ruin your guy's life because you're a knucklehead. But that's my wife. Yeah, you're going to ruin her, knucklehead. Not yet. Prune. Our pruning produces more fruit in both our lives and other people's lives. So I have a slide. When it comes to us, this is what we control. My little slide. Do you have it? When it comes to us, let God prune his way. But when it comes to what we can do, no need to cut people off. Just grow, they'll fall off. No need to cut people off. Is it time for you to grow? It's great to grow with people who are growing in the same direction. Man, they're going to grow with you. You get the people growing with you in the right direction, you're growing in the same direction. I don't know if you first time, you came up to anybody first timers that you feel comfortable, raise your hand, that came up to the front row worship for the first time today, raise your hand. Just a second. Did it feel different? It just does, right, Jordan? It just felt different. When you grow and you're with people who are growing the same direction, it moves you. It's teamwork. It's unity. It's fruit producing. It's life, right? But those people aren't going to grow with you. They're going to eventually drop off. Because you know how many people are like, I'm tired of hearing about Jesus, Capozzi. You can't hang out here with us anymore. We're just so tired of hearing about Jesus. I might have over-served the steak. I might have blended it. I don't know. Probably at that time, it's probably like, because I was so radically changed, I wanted my friends to know Jesus. I'm like, every chance I get, you know, they might say it sound like a J word. Did you talk about Jesus? No, man. I said, just give me the remote. Well, the remote is an access to the TV like Jesus, access to God. Bro, we're trying to watch the game. Don't play games with Jesus. You know, I might have been overblending. I don't know. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Oh, I love Jesus for that. He says, remain in me. Stay connected to him. Do it the way he asks. Well, I connect with Jesus. I go out to nature. Also, do you get to the fellowship of the saints? Oh, well, he says to do that. Are you in your word? Well, I read fortune cookies. Are you praising? Well, you know, the Mariah Carey album. No. Nothing wrong with that, but if you want to stay connected, you got to stay connected. You want to grow, you can't be separated from the vine. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. That's a good deal. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Say, I will remain in him. So this morning, you can stand with me. I'll get you out of record time. I know there's a meeting after service. There could be, I really believe this for the church in general, and I believe this for New Season. And if you call this home, we're so blessed to have you, and ushers and greeters, they're meeting afterwards, and I love that. But I really believe this. I'm not trying to pastoral hype you. I know there's some tough season ahead. If you look at our situation as a nation, as a country, as a world, it's tense out there, and there's tough season. But I believe that if we remain in him, this is going to be our most fruitful year yet. I believe if you remain in him, we're going to be salty and good tasting. I believe if we remain in him, we're going to stay committed to stay out of darkness. And if we remain in him, he's going to send you out like messengers of light into the world, giving away a real, sincere Jesus, not a hyped up, slammed up, steroided Jesus, not a shout, crazy Jesus, but Jesus who changed your life. And you're just going to share your story. And you're going to see the church grow, maybe not here, but you're going to see the church grow worldwide and make disciples. Why? Because your life is changing. This is, I believe, supposed to be our most fruitful year, Jazz. Our most fruitful year. We've had some fruitful years. But it only matters if we remain in him. Right? So, Father, this morning, I thank you for New Season Christian Fellowship. I thank you for miracles you're yet to do. I know what you can do. And, Father, we choose to remain in you this year. We choose to let you prune us off, that we produce more. Help us, Father, be a good-tasting snack to the world. When you send us out, Lord, and they bite into us, instead of slapping back, instead of self-arresting some thugs, Lord, help us taste good in those moments that you could be glorified and you could have more disciples. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Love somebody before you leave, please.